Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more.
Hi, Claire.
Hey, Lisa.
How are you doing today?
Good. And we're back.
We are back. We are continuing our talk on honoring your body's intelligence.
Yeah. If I remember, we were talking about naturopathy.
We were.
And causes and treating causes rather than symptoms, and that often the body is definitely telling us something.
Yes.
And I guess I would say sometimes it knocks gently and sometimes it beats down the door.
Absolutely. That's a good one.
And there's a tendency for us to want to just treat the symptoms, but we may be undermining the best health process in doing that, and that we need to work with the symptoms.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah. You were listening, weren't you?
I was.
You weren't dozing.
And I remember what you said. It's made an impression on me.
Okay, good. Good. Well, thanks for that synopsis for our listeners who maybe missed the last one. You can probably go back and listen at some point on the Voice of Vashon.
Well, we
Peak
also,
Health page.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we talked about skin disruptions, and we talked about fever as two ways that the body is trying to heal itself.
Yes.
As opposed to show that it's unwell, which is a subtle difference, but specific, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I'll talk again about the skin issue thing, because I think that's a huge one, and I think a lot of people don't realize it. So we'll touch on that. So what I wanted to start with is just when we have an illness, many times people think, oh, well, I'm sick again. My immune system isn't working. And that's really not the truth. It's actually when we are having symptoms, it means that our immune system is working, because it's actually the immune system, producing, like the white cells are producing chemicals and they're killing bugs, and that actually causes the symptoms. So maybe the cough or the diarrhea or whatever it may be, it's our immune system that's causing symptoms.
So we should actually be curious and dig a little deeper to what's going on.
Right. I mean, nobody wants to be sick, right?
True.
I don't want to be sick either. But, and of course, if you're getting sick like all the time, like, you know, once a month, or you're having an illness that's lasting for months, then there's maybe an issue and we need to, you know, pump up your immune system, strengthen it some. But your winter illness, you know, that maybe lasts 2 to 3 weeks, it's okay. I mean, viruses typically, they say, I think like 10 days to get over, 10 days to 3 weeks to get over. So I don't think it's unusual for an illness to last a couple weeks. But yeah, so people who never get sick. So let's say, I haven't been sick in 5 years. One of my mentors would say, start looking for the cancer.
Huh?
Yeah. So cancer is a disease of the immune system. Basically, when we have cells in our body that are replicating out of control, our immune system is what's supposed to be handling that. It's I think it's the cytotoxic T cells are the ones that are supposed to actually kill all those cells.
Because the cancer cells are in our body all the time, right?
But yeah.
We have an antithesis to it or a balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keeps it under control.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, I mean, obviously cancer is very complicated, and you know, there's some genetic things in there, and viruses can be involved and all of that. But in the bottom line is that the immune system is not working. So, So getting sick is okay. It's not a super bad thing.
Okay.
I know it's a tough pill to swallow.
So we want our immune system to be working, and we may see symptoms such as skin disruptions, fever, You mentioned febrile seizures last time. And if it's not working, would you suggest we, if we never get sick, what does that mean?
Well, it might mean that we're not responding to bugs that we're that are entering our system. One correction, though, you mentioned the skin disruptions. I don't particularly see that as a part of our immune system responding. The fever, obviously, but the skin disruptions was more about the liver and the kidneys and all that, and those not
detox.
Yeah, those not being up to par. So, but yeah. So if people don't ever get sick, it's kind of. I mean, obviously, if they're super healthy and they don't have any other problems, maybe it's okay. But mm-hmm. I expect someone to, you know, at least get a cold or something every other year or something.
Sure. Maybe they're ignoring it too, or not being really honest about it.
Could be. Yeah. And again, you know, we don't want people to be sick for weeks on end, and we don't want them to be sick all the time, but they might need immune system support. So then when someone is sick, back to one of the tenets of naturopathic medicine, first, do no harm. We don't want to suppress the symptoms. So let's say that someone has a upper respiratory infection. So they get a sore throat, and then they get a stuffy nose, and then they get a cough. Sometimes people will use over-the-counter medicines like a cough suppressant. And actually, it's not really a good thing, because your body is trying to get rid of mucus, which mucus is, you know, white cells and bugs and things like that. And so if we're taking a cough suppressant, we're not getting that stuff out. So, and then other things people might do is taking decongestants such as sudafedrin, which is Sudafed, which it's not available as much anymore.
I don't think
because
so, yeah.
of it's used to make methamphetamine. But that's just an example, sudafedrin. So what sudafedrin does is it shrinks the blood vessels in your nasal passages to try and decrease the amount of mucus that's going to come out of there. I don't know if I'm getting too technical here.
Yeah, I can see how people feel a lot of symptoms with that kind of thing, where they might have runny nose and cough, or eyes itching, and, you know, just a lot of discomfort.
Yeah.
What about using things that are what's so-called, quote, natural?
Like what?
Lemon and hot water, or...
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Supplements that are natural, if you will.
Yeah, I
to
mean,
help their symptoms.
I always want to think, I ask you what, because it's important to know what it is and what the mechanism is of that, whatever you're taking. So, lemon and hot water, I mean, that's, I actually don't really know the mechanism for making people feel better with that. Honey, lemon, and ginger tea is something that I often recommend. And, you know, that can be helpful for, you know, decreasing congestion and getting it out. And so that is actually a good thing.
So honey should probably be raw and organic.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of honey that could be organic, but not raw.
It's true. Yeah. And there's this great.
And local, if possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the local part is more for like allergies and things, for helping allergies if it's local, because I'm not sure the exact mechanism of that, but when we eat local honey, it often can help you with allergies.
I guess I've heard that as well, just that the bees being local, they
come in contact with the
local
pollen of the,
And then they take it back to the hive, which is very extremely concentrated in terms of the bees in a small area. And so that's antimicrobial, antifungal, and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think it's in their saliva or something that they use when they make the hive.
Yeah.
And I heard once that they would use honey diluted in water to soothe the bees. And when they did it with treated honey, like it had been homogenized or something, all the bees died. But when
they
used raw honey, it worked perfectly.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So when it's heated or, you know, pasteurized or something like that, that it destroys some of the properties that are beneficial to the bees, because they're so concentrated in an area that there would be, you know, a huge chance for microbial activity, fungus and stuff like that to grow.
Right.
Because they all go from all over the place and come back to the same place too.
Yeah. I love that stuff. There's this great honey onion cough syrup that I have made before. Basically, you take the honey, raw honey, and then you kind of mix onions in there, and it actually gets more liquidy. Like when you have really thick honey, it gets liquidy, and it's a good cough syrup. It helps, to move the mucus out.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's tasty too. Yeah, so doing things to support the body. So, you know, maybe if you have nasal congestion, doing a steam of, you know, tea tree oil, eucalyptus oil to help increase congestion from moving out. So that's just what I think about when I'm trying to help somebody through an illness. Like, how can I enhance the body's natural activities?
I remember my mother holding my head under a towel over a basin of really hot water with, I think it must have been Vicks VapoRub or camphor in it. And I remember squirming, and she wanted me to breathe that in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't want to, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like not so good memory, but. Yeah. Yeah. So that's in talking about an upper respiratory infection. So gastrointestinal infections or problems in thinking about that, a typical example is acid reflux. So a lot of times when someone has acid reflux, the doctor will prescribe an antacid, you know, whether it's Tums or some omeprazole, Prilosec, Zantac, basically to stop the acid. And so that's suppressing the body. We're stopping the acid production. We're not going to be digesting our foods as well if we're going to stop our acid production. And so
that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really unfortunate. And actually those medicines like Prilosec, on the package insert, it will say like not to be taken for more than 2 weeks. They're meant to be a temporary thing. And I almost think it was for ulcers, because they wanted, like when people had ulcers, they didn't want them producing acid so that it could heal. And so anyways, but they're used very widely now. And instead, what I do is focus on why is the person having acid reflux, and, you know, working on tightening their sphincter, which is a little muscle at the top of our stomach between our esophagus and our stomach. And that is the cause of the reflux.
So it's the acid in the wrong place.
Yeah. And often it's not enough acid, which seems really weird. I mean, there's enough there to burn the esophagus when the sphincter becomes loose, but it's actually the presence of acid in the stomach that helps the sphincter tighten.
So how do you work on your sphincter?
There's a lot of things, actually. Yeah. I mean, one of the things for sure.
One of the things when you rub your stomach in a certain direction?
You could do that. I mean, giving your stomach massage. A lot of times, like it can be a nervous system issue. So, cranial sacral work is good, or visceral manipulation, because it can also be anatomical. So, a hiatal hernia, where the part of the stomach moves up through the hole in the diaphragm. And then there are different herbs. Sometimes the sphincter is not tight because of issues downstream, like the liver is not working properly, not getting bile into the gallbladder. So it's usually a myriad of things, working on the diet, you know, finding out if there's like food intolerances.
I think that's often the case for people, particularly if it's gastrointestinal kinds of things that aren't super consistent. Sometimes, you know, I've run across people that either they have disruptive bowel functions, I would say, on one end or the other.
Yeah.
And it's not enough that they really pay attention to it.
Yeah.
But it's something enough that they bring up.
Yeah. Which is, I feel like, a big problem, because, I mean, we need to have our digestion working properly to absorb our nutrients and the rest of our body.
The whole gut brain thing?
Well, that too.
Another topic for another day.
Yeah. But the you know, our entire body depends on our digestion. I feel like the brain and the gut are, yeah, the biggest things. Yeah, so it's important to address the, if there's gastrointestinal problems, address those so that we can have optimal health. And that's why I chose to focus my practice on GI issues.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. So
I had one thought about the acid reflux that I have heard that I think it's the four C's that you're not supposed to have. Citrus, coffee, or caffeine. Now I can't remember the
chocolate.
Other two. Chocolate, and there's one more.
Citrus, chocolate, and
does
caffeine.
That contribute to how much acid they produce, or does it contribute to the sphincter muscle not working properly, do you think?
That's a good question.
Because people will have to sit up in a chair to sleep. And they'll say, oh, I knew when I did this, I'd have to sleep sitting up.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Like the sphincter will stay down if gravity helps it, but not if they're lying down flat, maybe.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. As far as the mechanism for those foods, I think it's those foods cause the sphincter to be loose. Like, because mint is another big one. Peppermint.
So it loosens the sphincter?
I know for sure that mint, because when I studied herbs, mint, it was like, don't give mint things to people, like mint tea or whatever, to people with reflux, because it will make the reflux worse, which makes it's because of the sphincter. So I would assume for some reason the rest of those do that too. I don't know, but I'm not sure the exact mechanism.
I just heard about it in my travel.
Yeah. So mint, coffee, citrus, tomato, onions, garlic, acidic juices, alcohol, and spicy foods is what I
get rid of those things first to see if it improves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a big believer in changing your diet.
That's right. Yeah. So that's acid reflux. So also diarrhea. So if we think about that symptom, the body is trying to get rid of something. It's like, I don't want this in here, whether it be like some kind of food that you've eaten or whether it be a bug. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously when we get food poisoning, we get vomiting and we get diarrhea because the body's like, get it out of here. Get this bug out of here. It's very unpleasant.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Well, what about constipation as the antithesis to diarrhea? Does that mean your body really wants it?
That's a good question. No, I think that, you know, we have to just think about what would be the causes of constipation. Usually I find it's some kind of disruption in the flora of the gut, or it is something with the brain, because the brain, the vagus nerve, which comes from the brain, it regulates the movements of the gastrointestinal tract. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so
all the way up there in your brain.
yeah. So I think that's a good question, Claire, because that might be a little bit confusing. Like, oh, I'm constipated. Is my body wanting to be constipated? Yeah. Like, every situation is different, and so that's why it takes somebody, a doctor, who will really like look at your symptoms and your situation and, you know.
And maybe spend more than your allotted 10 minutes or something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm just sort of thinking in my brain about other things that have come across me, that I've come across or that people have mentioned to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like a person who had feet that I don't know if it was athlete's foot or something, but itchy feet or peeling feet or not a lot, but I've come across women who have toe, I guess it's a fungus under their nail.
Yeah.
Is that the same kind of thing, that we're not working with the body properly and it's trying to get rid of something?
Not necessarily trying to get rid of something. It's just that, so usually what I find that to be is related to the gut, to imbalance of the good bugs and bad bugs, including yeast.
Is that candida?
Yeah. So like a yeast overgrowth in the gut. And
let's talk about that sometime.
Yeah, we are actually. It's on deck. We're going to talk about candida and what causes it and how you can get over it. But yeah, so like athlete's foot, jock itch, like any kind of fungal things. And not that saying that peeling skin on the feet is always athlete's foot, but, you know, when it's itchy and stuff, for sure. So just addressing the digestion again, and the balance of the bacteria and the yeast in the gut is super important for that. So, and also just like what you're eating, certain things.
Yeah, that was my next thought, is whatever you're eating that does or does not agree with you in some way. Like, I've even talked to a couple people that they feel like their esophagus swells a little bit when they eat certain things.
Really?
Not that they need, you know, a EpiPen.
Oh, but, oh, you mean so their trachea, you mean?
Yeah,
so like
I guess it was
when
trachea.
They breathe. Yeah, yeah, when they breathe, it kind of feel like a tightness.
Right. Like almost like if it were rubbing together. Mm-hmm. And it would feel like there wasn't enough room inside it if it were to swell up. And I'm just sort of thinking of all these little things that people mention that, you know, generally they'll bring up, but it's not enough that it keeps them from going to work.
Right.
But
until it does.
Right. Yeah. That's when it's, you know, beating down the door instead of just knocking gently. Yeah.
That's the way it always works. Remember when we talked about proactive versus reactive?
Oh, true. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, shoot, I really am in a bind here now. Like, I need to go and figure this out.
So, I mean, the summation of this is that we want to be more aware of what our body's trying to tell us, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
And that there are a variety of ways that we can respond to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the naturopathic way is digging a little deeper and sort of embracing what it's trying to tell you, not necessarily suppress it.
Right. Embracing what it's trying to tell you. And also, unfortunately, probably making some lifestyle changes or, like you said, diet changes. So another example that I can think of is somebody maybe with chronic fatigue or chronic immune issues where
how about not sleeping? But
That's true. Not sleeping. Well the not sleeping
leads they can't
to
fall asleep, or they wake up and then they're awake for 2 hours.
Oh, right.
You know, those kinds of things. And they're not like needing a CPAP machine, but they just have these sleep issues.
Yeah. So that's definitely something we should talk about, because I feel like on another show, because that's a huge problem, is insomnia. But yeah, there's some kind of message. What I find usually is if somebody is having a problem falling asleep, it's some kind of anxiety. Versus if they're having a problem staying asleep, it's usually something with the blood sugar. Hmm. I mean, it could be anxiety too, but oftentimes people will have unstable blood sugar, often due to too much stress or eating too much sugary things. But when you go to sleep, your blood sugar is stable, but if it drops during the night, then that will wake you. And so,
but I also have heard of people saying that sometimes alcohol will wake them up in the middle of the night, over a certain amount.
Yeah.
They'll wake up and can't fall back to sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
One glass is fine and two is not.
Right. Puts you over the edge.
Is that the same thing? It's messing with their blood sugar?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm unsure of the mechanism. I have heard that alcohol disrupts your sleep, but I don't. That makes sense, because alcohol does affect your blood sugar. You know, that's one thing that people with diabetes and things like that should not be drinking alcohol. Mm-hmm. So it's just always turning. My favorite question is why? You know, okay, so you're tired. Well, why are you tired? Well, because your adrenals are weak. Well, why are your adrenals weak? And we've had a show on adrenal fatigue, and it's very common in our society, you know, where we're constantly stressed and having to work too hard and do too much and not enough time and all that sort of thing.
Rest and digest, I learned from you.
That's right. And so, that's a big problem in our society's adrenal fatigue. And so it's when I have somebody with that, and it's not all to put all the blame on somebody like, oh, you're not sleeping. I mean, it could be you're not sleeping enough, you're not eating right, or you're working too much. That could be it. But there's also other issues that can cause adrenal fatigue. You know, if there's a heavy metal toxicity, or if there's some kind of chronic infection, that can, you know, cause fatigue also.
So one of the things I would say I'm getting out of all of this is if a person has an issue, mm-hmm. starting with a skin disruption or a fever or a gastrointestinal problem or whatever, that it's worth kind of opening up your thinking to, let's not just take a pill or something to suppress the symptoms,
right?
But let's dig a little more and maybe develop some new muscles to strengthen in the right way so that we alleviate the problem.
Right.
Or get rid of it permanently.
Right. And I think that's a huge reminder to our audience that when we do just take the pill, oftentimes we're suppressing our body's intelligence and we're going to cause more issues. I wanted to talk again about the skin thing, just the allergy, eczema, asthma triad, and that often it will start with allergies. And if we suppress the allergies, they will go to eczema on the skin. We suppress the eczema with some cortisone cream or something, it will go to asthma. And so that's a common thing we see with people.
So when you're getting better, that like your asthma might alleviate, but you still have eczema. And then when you finally get rid of the eczema, you're back to having allergies.
Yeah.
And then when you finally get rid of it,
yeah,
you know, by lifestyle change or rebalancing the body in whatever way.
Balancing the immune system.
Making the intelligence of your body your own intelligence as well.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's allergies is another issue, you know, it kind of goes back to the adrenals and the liver, but yeah, it's just, I think, important for people to realize what they're doing with their bodies and find somebody that will support you in, you know, uncovering root causes. And
it seems a little bit more subtle, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Than just obviously saying, oh, I have an earache and give me an antibiotic.
Right.
Right. And maybe it behooves us to slow down a little bit and listen more.
Yeah.
And recognize that our body does know how to heal itself if we give it the right environment.
Absolutely. That's great. I love it, Claire. You do a great job. You could be a naturopath.
I could. I'm short on that little piece of paper.
That's true.
That's what you're
true.
For.
I know. That's
it's Fern Cove Medicine.
That's true. That's true. Well, and I have you to, you know, motivate all these people because that takes time too, you know. Wow.
Well, and I do like to think of, you know, if you think of lifestyle change and behavior change, not slapping a cream on your rash.
Right.
That it is a new muscle to say, oh, I'm not going to handle it this way. I'm going to develop this other way. I'm going to trust this new way to me, which is actually saying I'm going to trust that my body knows how to fix itself if I give it the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I don't stop it before it's ready.
I love it. Yep. It's great.
But it is a new way of thinking.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Okay, well, I think we're just about done here on time, so
okay,
it's been great.
Don't forget, we've been listening to 101.9 FM, KBSH, one of the primary sponsors being Windermere Real Estate.
Yes, thank you to Windermere.
Yes.
And thank you to everyone listening, and
see you next time.
Take care.
Bye.